During my junior year abroad in Beirut, Lebanon, I was fortunate enough to live in downtown housing where not only Americans stayed and had their meals, but a number of students from around the Middle East lived and took their meals as well. In that way, those of us from the States were able to make friends over the course of the academic year with a number of young people from Iran, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Palestine, and so on. Not Israel. My closest non-American friend was from Iran, and he was one of the most creative, spirited people I have ever known. I stayed with his brother in Tehran for a week, using it as a base for my travels around parts of Iran or Persia. Another friend was a princess from Saudi Arabia. While we could talk freely with her, we males could never ask her out on a date. It was simply prohibited. But perhaps one of my most interesting friends was a Palestinian named Victor. It was he who once took me to a Palestinian refugee camp in the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon to show me the very human reality and results of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It was also Victor who once said to me that we Americans were very privileged, that I was very privileged. I think I made some kind of feeble protest saying that many Americans are privileged, but that we were simply students like he was. In fact, in order to make it financially through the month, I sometimes had to go to one of the Beirut hospitals to sell my blood. I don't think Victor was impressed. Probably because I was too privileged to actually understand what he was talking about. When is enough enough? Or we can even say, when is enough and then some enough? I think this is one of the questions that comes from being privileged. But I also think that being privileged gives us the opportunity to stop and consider what we truly mean by money and whether or not money fulfills our inner being. So let me be clear. Today is Stewardship Sunday, where we kick off our annual pledge drive among our members and friends so that we can continue fostering a vibrant, liberal, compassionate, and meaningful ministry among ourselves, within our community, and within the world. Our ministry is about fostering the spirit within and helping to heal the world. And we have decided that one of the most helpful ways of doing this is to be part of a faith community that ministers to these needs. And by forming a church, we have agreed that resources by which to promote those needs, our mission, and our vision are necessary. So through the stewardship team, we ask ourselves to consider what this community truly means to us and how to be generous in providing our time, our talent, and our treasure. However, this is also an opportunity to talk openly about money. It's time we talk money. This is a chance to acknowledge whatever feelings we might have around money. This is a moment which we can consider the unconscious belief systems that we all have about money. And yes, I think we do have an unconscious belief system. I think we all have a financial belief system. I think understanding our relationship to money is vital to understanding our spiritual self. I think our relationship to money is something, however, that we may not be well aware of or one that we rarely discuss. So let's start at the beginning. What is money? There are four perspectives of money. The first is the very practical, concrete, everyday transactions of money, metal, credit cards, and so on. This is the prevailing perspective of money in our culture. The second is the emotional, non-material perspective. What are our own feelings and thoughts with regard to our daily interactions with money? Is it about security? Is it about power? Is it about social acceptance? Or guilt, or shame. The third has to do with our culture, where money is a social invention, a valueless entity, except as a means to trade or exchange something. It is in this realm that our culture and government tells us that economic growth is good. But this is merely a social construct. It is not the case that more is necessarily better, nor that economic growth is necessarily good. The fourth perspective is about who we are, where money is not seen as something external, but is in fact our life energy. Our life energy is our allotment of time here on earth, the hours of precious life available to us. So right now, at my present age, I have approximately 148,000 hours of life left. That's about 16 years. Yes, I count every day. This, of course, has decreased considerably since I went to Beirut at 20 years old, when my hours of life then were about 500,000 hours. Money is something we choose to trade our life energy for. One could say that money equals life energy. While money has no intrinsic value, our life energy does, at least to us. Life energy is all we have. When we go to our jobs, we are trading our life energy for money. We pay for money with our time. But our life energy is precious because it is limited and irretrievable, and because our choices about how we use it express the meaning and purpose of our time here on earth. So here is what our life is all about. It is about how I am going to use my life energy in relation to myself, in relation to others, to my creative expressions, to my contributions to my faith community, the larger community, to the world, to achieving peace and meaning and having a job. Sue and I had friends in Vermont who read the book Your Money or Your Life, which is also the basis for this sermon. And they made some drastic changes, these friends, as a result of reading it. They spent half the year in Vermont, and they accumulated approximately $20,000 a year. And then they spent the other 6 months in France on their own riverboat. To my knowledge, they are still doing this on a little more than $20,000 at this point. They adopted the dictum that enough and then some is enough. They accepted creative frugality, that is, the wise stewarding of money, time, energy, space, and possessions, creative frugality, as a means to balance their lives. And they found that in doing so, they were fulfilled, for fulfillment is having just enough. And relating to that which is other than oneself, whether it be the community, the world, or their God. How we handle money in our lives and how we relate to money emotionally are a reflection of our financial belief system. The spiritual question, though, is, might that all be transformed so that we see everything in terms of our life energy and how our life energy corresponds to our own fulfillment, purpose, and meaning in life? What if we thought of all of this in terms of life energy rather than in terms of money? For example, what if we redefined work? What if we said that work is simply any productive or purposeful activity, with paid employment being just one activity among others? This would free us from the false assumption that what we do to put food on the table and a roof over our heads should also provide us with our sense of meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. Our fulfillment as human beings lies not in our jobs, but in the whole picture of our lives, in our inner sense of what life is about, our connectedness with others, and our yearning for meaning and purpose. When I was a student chaplain at Montreal General Hospital in Quebec, I was called one afternoon to a room where a man had just died. I wasn't sure why I had been called after the fact, but When I entered the hospital room, a woman was there, and she introduced herself as the man's sister. She then told me that this man had literally just retired. He had worked hard all his life, recently looking forward to a retirement so that he could travel and do all the things he had dreamed of doing upon his retirement. It was supposed to be a new adventure for his life. How incredibly sad and how painful it was for this man's sister. So I learned a great deal from that Montreal man that I never knew. For one thing, I try not to wait in order to fulfill my dreams. Just ask Sue. She still wonders when I'll slow down. Yet another is that whatever work I do has to fulfill me. I do ministry as part of my work because it fulfills me. I find meaning in the daily opportunities that arise with people. Every day, even in committee meetings, I see people's passion and their life force. Every day, I also see people's pain. In those moments of vulnerability, it is beauty. It is beauty, not darkness or despair, that prevails. I wonder if, for most people, their relationship to money is a reflection of our culture's relationship to money, which, to be blunt, is often irrational and addictive. We all have a financial belief system, but what is it? I have to say that reviewing our church budgets, engaging in the space needs work we've been doing for 3 years, and trying to create sermons on stewardship that call us to generosity have been a serious challenge for me. But it's all good, because it's allowed me to look at money, and therefore my own life energy, in a totally different way. I have had to ask myself, when is enough? And then some, enough. And I do think there is something about privilege here, because not everyone has the choice or the opportunity or the luxury to find alternatives. So I'm going to suggest some homework, especially during the annual budget campaign. So I would like to suggest that you create a daily money log. Now, this keeps track of every cent that comes into or goes out of your life on a daily basis. Into and out of your life on a daily basis. After a week, evaluate your spending by asking two questions. One, did I receive fulfillment, satisfaction, and value in proportion to life energy spent? Did I receive fulfillment, satisfaction, and value in proportion to life energy spent? And secondly, is this expenditure of life energy in alignment with my values and life purpose? Is this expenditure of life energy in alignment with my values and life purpose? The first week I did this, I was surprised to see that in the daily routine of living, I had spent well over $300. Now, since Sue does the bills in our household, this was a considerable amount for me to spend alone in a week. But when I looked more closely at the way I had spent the money, I realized that one-third of it I had given away. It was essentially a donation, which completely satisfied and fulfilled my values and sense of purpose. So I no longer felt guilt or shame, or felt the need to confess to Sue my extravagant spending. I suspect this is the first time she's heard this. Similarly, when I look at Sue's and my pledge to this congregation, I feel strongly that it fulfills my values and sense of purpose. I am glad to take my life energy, trade my life energy for the work that I do here in order to help foster the ministry that we do together as a faith community. This gives me purpose. So for the earth and its people to be healthy, I think we need an economic revolution. I happen to think, too, that has to start with you and me. transforming our relationship to money so that it is our life energy, our inner spirit that goes forth and breathes new life and new dreams and new meaning and new values into the world. May it be so. And amen.